Good evening. Did everybody bring their copy of the text that we're going to study? If you don't have the sheet, you won't know what's going on. Did anybody bring a pencil or a pen? Because you have to write things down. So, Ron asked if we could study a case from the Shoryoroku, the Book of Serenity, a collection of 100 koans. So I want to talk about this text as compared to other collections of koans. We have the most popular collection of koans, Mumon Khan, in the Blue Cliff Record. Mumon Khan was collected by Mumon, whose name means gateless gate. So the collection is called the Gateless Gate. No gate, Mumon. And a collection of 48 koans. And Mumon's...
Could
I can't hear it.
Down, go up just a little.
Yeah. Okay. Is that better?
Yeah. Yes.
So in Mumon's collection of 48 koans, there's no introduction. Mumon just jumps right in, presents the case, and and talks about it in various ways. In the Blue Cliff Record, which is a collection by Secho, Japanese name, or the Chinese, that's a collection of 100 koans, where there's an introduction and the presentation of the case, and talking about the case, and the commentary by I can't remember his name, but anyway, there's a commentary by somebody else. So if you read the koans, you'll understand that. In the Book of Serenity, which is a collection of 100 koans by Hong Jir, who also wrote those wonderful practice instructions that we comment on a lot, from Cultivating the Empty Field. So, and he belongs to the Chaldong school, which is the Soto school. And the other collection of koans belong to more like the Rinzai school. But the Soto school, you know, we study those koans as well. But the Shoryoroku, the Book of Serenity, is mostly studied by the Soto school. And the Soto school tends to be more subtle. I guess that's a good word. Subtle meaning refined. And the allusions are to literature and various colloquialisms that were popular in that time, in ancient China, in the Tang Dynasty. So it's much more sophisticated in a way. The commentaries are somewhat ordinary. So some people say that you can't really understand the Shoryoroku unless you understand Tang Dynasty Chinese literature. But I don't think that's true. It's not necessarily true. Because we can intuit what they're saying. So if you open your page, I'll give you some I'll talk about how this these columns are pretty much constructed. The fundamental structure, if you look at it says introduction, begins with the word introduction. Young Man Sweeps the Ground is the title, right? Yes. So Young Man Sweeps the Ground. So there's an introduction by a monk called Wan Song. And then there's the case. The case is what this koan is about. And then under that is called commentary. The commentary is by Wan Song. And then, in the page, or whatever you have, there's a lot of commentary here. Lots of commentary. Until you come to it, is a verse. Verse is like V-E-R-S-E, it's on the left of the, and the verse is in italics. Yeah. Okay. So the verse is by Tian Tong. Tian Tong is the same as Wan Shi Shogaku or Wan Shi. Now, he's the person who actually collected the 100 koans. And Wan Song is the commentator on the verse and on the case. But after the verse, there's a commentary, and that's also by Wan Song. So he has a lot to say here. Right. And then there are added sayings to the case. These are the added sayings to the actual case. And then there are the added sayings to the verse of Wan Song. Tian Tong. That's a little complex, but once you get the idea, you see that it's not so complicated. But it is complex. There's a lot going on. Okay? So, if you turn back to the beginning, the fundamental structure is the verse and the case. That's the fundamental structure. The case comes before the verse. And then the verse is Wan Song's verse, where he's, you know, this verse is expressing the meaning of the case. But in order to really get the meaning of the case, Wan Song is doing his commentary. Wan Song gives us the introduction and the commentary and all the commentaries, and in this particular case, there are many characters. A lot of people are saying something, adding their two cents to the case. And Yunyan and Bao Ling are the two actors in the case. Seems like a play, but I'll explain that next. I'll just read the case. As Yun Yan was sweeping the ground, Dao Wu said, "Too busy." And Yun Yan said, "You should know there is one who is not busy." And then Dao Wu said, "If so, then there is a second moon." And Yun Yan held up the broom and said, "Which moon is this?" It would probably help if you knew something about Chinese literature, but it's not necessary. So then there are many commentators. I'm going to tell you who the commentators are. Zui Du, Hui Zong. If you want to write these down, you don't have to write them down if you don't want them. But you will meet these people as we go along. You'll meet them. But I just want to tell you who they are. Zui Du, Hui Zong, Manjushri, Zui Feng, Douzi, Dongshan, Luoshan, Kuangshan, Chang Qing, Dashan, Yunmen, Yantu, Baofu, and an old fellow. These are all participants in this case. The way I see this case is it's like a play. Before the curtain opens is the introduction. The characters are all there waiting for the curtain to open. Wang Song steps in front of the curtain and makes an introduction. And he says, having shed illusion and enlightenment, having shed both illusion and enlightenment, having cut off body and ordinary, I'm sorry, holy and ordinary, although there are not so many things, setting up host and guest and distinguishing noble and mean is a special house. It's not that there is no giving jobs, handing out assignments, or assessment of ability, but how do you understand siblings with the same breath and adjoining branches? If you've studied the five ranks of Tozan, you will have a better understanding of how this case unfolds. A lot of the understanding here is based on Tozan's five positions. Let's look at the introduction again. Having shed illusion and enlightenment. Usually, we think that if we shed illusion, that we have enlightenment. That's some kind of a good understanding, but it's not perfect understanding. Perfect understanding is to go beyond both illusion and enlightenment. Because illusion and enlightenment are two sides of the same coin. Within delusion, we practice enlightenment within delusion, and we practice delusion within enlightenment. So he says, having shed illusion and enlightenment, having cut off holy and ordinary, in other words, those two dualities, going beyond the duality of holy and ordinary, enlightenment and illusion or delusion. You should know that there's one who isn't, although there are not so many things, setting up host and guest and distinguishing between noble and mean is a special house. But the special house is the house of Tozan. Setting up guest, host, and guest. If you've studied the five positions, host and guest means absolute and relative. So all of the introduction, in this introduction, he's talking about the absolute and the relative over and over again in different ways. He's talking about it as illusion and enlightenment, holy and ordinary. Not so many things, setting up host and guest. Host is absolute, guest is relative. These are all terms that are used in Tozan's explanation of the five positions. So, and distinguishing noble and mean. So noble is the essence, and mean is the particular. So, although there are not so many things, setting up host and guest and distinguishing noble and mean is a special house, the house of Dozon. It's not that there is no giving jobs, handing out assignments, I would say, or assessment of ability, but how do you understand siblings with the same breath and adjoining branches? So he's talking about Yunyan and Da Wu. So he gives us the introduction. He's telling you what this is all about, actually. See, this play is based on this stuff. And then the curtain opens. So, do you have any questions before we open the curtain? Yes.
Are you saying that Yunyan and Da Wu were siblings?
The siblings? Yes. The Dharma brothers.
Pardon?
Spiritual siblings.
They're Dharma brothers.
Okay,
Dharma. Yeah, they're not. But they're not, didn't come from the same mother, but they did come from the same father. So, how do you understand siblings with the same breath and adjoining branches? Both the same and different, right? One and two.
So adjoining is meaning like two, not
adjoining is like two.
Right.
Yeah.
And then but giving out on the basis of ability is also two.
Yes, that's discrimination. Yeah. So we're talking about discrimination, non-discrimination. All the stuff we always talk about is all in here, as in a little, all condensed. So then it's all condensed in this introduction, and then it's all opened up in the play. Everything is being talked about in the introduction is being opened up in the play. So, curtain opens. Here's the case. As Yunyan was sweeping the ground. So we have somebody there called Yunyan who is sweeping the ground. These are very famous Zen masters of the Tang Dynasty. Da Wu and Yunyan, and they're kind of like the middle ground of the Tang Dynasty. You know, they're not the most famous figures that were, you know, the pillars, but they're the middle ground, which is very interesting. You know, Da Wu and Yunyan and Dozan and so forth. So. As Yunyan was sweeping the ground, Da Wu, his Dharma brother, came along, walked along, and he said, "Oh, you're too busy. You give me kind of a challenge, you know." That's the way they used to talk to each other sometimes. They said, "What are you doing, you know?" And he said, "You're too busy." And Yunyan said, "You should know there's one who is not busy." So the question, who is it that's not busy? Who's busy and who's not busy? One is sweeping the ground, called busy, but there's one who's not busy. And Da Wu said, if so, then there must be a second moon. Mm-hmm. Moon is like a second two fundamental things instead of one. There must be something fundamental besides the fundamental. So, then Yunyan held up the drum and he said, "Which moon is this? Is this the absolute or is this the relative?" Who's doing this? Who's lifting up the broom? Okay, so Long Song has a commentary. So the koan actually is, which moon is this? That's the essence of the koan. Which moon is this? Is this absolute? Is this the essence or the function? Rather than say absolute and relative, it's better to say essence and function. Then you get it more better. Is this the essence or is this the function that's raising the broom? So function, essence is like Buddha nature. Function is an everyday activity. So the comment, Wansong's commentary, he says, Dao Wu bore down on Yunyan. In other words, he gave a problem. Like, and then we have Fu Guo coming into the picture as a comparison. Like Fu Guo urging on Fu Jian. You don't know what that's about, neither do I. But he says, as it is said, without upset, there is no solution. Without struggle, there is no expression. So, this is what these two guys were talking about. Fu Guo and, you know. So, when you... This sounds correct, doesn't it? Without upset, without something going on, then nothing happens. So, this is like... he's comparing Fu Guo and Fu Jian. Who said, without upset there's no solution, and without struggle there's no expression. So this is Dao Wu coming down on Yunyan. Here, as Yunyan was sweeping the ground, Dao Wu casually tested him. Yunyan said, you should know there is one who isn't busy. Good people. As you eat, boil tea, sew and sweep, you should recognize the one not busy. Then you will realize the union of mundane reality and enlightened reality. As in the Dongshan progression, this is Dongshan is Tozan. Dongshan is Tozan's Chinese name, because he was Chinese. The Dongshan progression is the five ranks, the five positions of absolute and relative, or essence and function, or prince and minister. Then you will realize the union of mundane reality and enlightened reality. In the Dongshan progression, this is called simultaneous inclusion. Naturally, not wasting any time. Dao Wu immediately saw the open seam, and he said, if so, there's a second moon. So, to say, suggesting a second moon means there's a duality. Two moons means there's a duality. How are two moons one moon? The same breath adjoining branches. What?
In Norman talk that I listened to, he said that what the two moons comes from is in China, if you rub your eyeballs,
mm-hmm.
it creates an image of two, you know, two, like two suns or two, mm-hmm. two flashes. And the question is, well, are they really there or not?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, yeah. Are you seeing cross-eyed or not? Yeah. So Dao Wu immediately saw the open seam. In other words, he saw the possibility. Open seam would be, is it one or two? and you could open that up.
This would be like cloth, like if you saw the back side of a cloth and you could see where it was attached.
Yeah, you can see the seam, and is it...
Whereas in the front, it might look like old one.
So, so Dao Wu immediately saw the open seam and said, if so, there is a second moon. In other words, Zui Du, now we're introducing another person called Zui Du, who's making a comment. Zui Du said, as an alternative, almost might have been let past. He's kind of a critic, you know, saying, giving his 2 cents worth. It almost passed him up. The two old men feared that people would set up a reality body as apart from the physical body. Reality body is essence, and physical body is function. So that's basically what this case is about. Is there a physical, is there essence body as opposed to a functional body? We have to understand that essence and function. Essence is what everything is. Essence is the essence of everything. And function is the expression of the essence as dharmas, as what we perceive of as our the world we live in. That's the function. The function of the essence is to produce a world that is that looks like it has no essence. And that's, people get fooled. This is what it's all about. It's about not being fooled by thinking that function is different than essence, and essence is different than function, or that there are actually two moons, the moon of essence and the moon of function. So which moon is this when I raise the broom? Is this essence or is this function? So the two old men feared that people would set up a reality body, which is essence, as apart from the physical body, which is function. Because national teacher Hui Zong said to a Chan traveler, so here's the traveler and another commentator called Hui Zong. The national teacher Hui Zong said to a Chan traveler from the south, for us here, the Buddha nature is completely unborn and undying. Your Buddha nature in the south, there, is half born and half dying, half unborn and half undying. So he's comparing, he's saying to this traveler, we don't see any difference between the essence and function, but there in the south, you guys, you know, think there's an essence and a function which are separate. And the traveler said, how do you distinguish the essence from the function? And the teacher said, here we say body and mind are one suchness. There's nothing outside of mind. Therefore, it's completely unborn and undying. Even the South say body is impermanent, while the spiritual nature is permanent. There it's half born, half dying, half unborn, and half undying. When you get here, you must realize there is there's a time to turn around to the Father. That's what I said before. I said, not mother, but Father, because he says so in the text. But it's an interesting statement about Father. I don't know, you know, Cleary translated this. He's a very good translator. He understands Chinese really well. And is, you know, the top translator in many ways. But we also you know, he also has his own ways of talking about things. But I think that's an interesting statement. So do you understand what this paragraph has been saying? Yeah.
I'm trying to, as we read on, I was hoping that I could get this answered without asking, but I don't understand the sentence, without upset, there is no solution, mm-hmm. without struggle. I don't know what that's referring to.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
in this, yet.
Mm-hmm. I think it's referring to Dawu and Union.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, unless they, you know, there's some, so did they do some work, some serious work, which seems, you know, doesn't seem like serious work, but it is. The essence of their understanding will come out. They have to do a little grappling in order to bring out the Dharma. You know?
Upset.
Huh?
Well, upset.
Upset, yeah. In order to bring out the Dharma.
It has nothing to do with the fact that the North and the South have a different slant on things?
Well, you know, I don't know what which North and which South you're talking about, but it's
right.
Just two different places. I think we just think of it as two different places, rather than North or something or South or something. I don't think that's important. What's important is, in one place they think of it this way, instead of this way.
And each are equally as wise.
Who is?
And each of them.
No, they're not.
No, I wouldn't.
No, he's saying, in our understanding, essence and function are one thing, and in your understanding they're two things, so that's not the same. Well, let's go on, let's see what they say. So I'm going to just go back a little bit. The teacher said, here we say body and mind are one suchness. So that's our understanding. There's nothing outside of mind. When he says mind, nothing outside of mind, he doesn't mean our brain. Nothing outside of big mind, essence of mind. So there's nothing outside of essence of mind, which is there's nothing outside of Buddha nature. So when he says nothing outside of mind, doesn't mean outside of our brain, or our little small mind, but out of a big mind. Suzuki Roshi always used to say that you should always be focused on big mind, which includes everything. Your mind should be big enough to include everything. So that's big mind, not discriminating mind. So you in the South say body is impermanent, while the special spiritual nature is permanent, that it's half born, half dying. Half unborn, half undying. When you get here, you must realize there's a time to turn around to the Father, which I think would mean not separate. So, this is, you know, to think that there's a spiritual essence and a mundane essence. This is called the Srenika heresy in Buddhism. Srenika heresy is like the holdover from Hinduism, which and most religion, which says that there is a spiritual body which transmigrates through lifetime after lifetime and inhabits a body and then discards the body but keeps going and sometimes it's about this big, or you know, they have various ways of describing it, but in Buddhism that's not the case. We don't say that there is a spiritual body and which continues and finds, you know, more embodiment. Yes.
But Buddhism does talk about reincarnation.
Well, yeah, it does talk about reincarnation, but even so, it's not talking about an entity which is indestructible. In other words, the entity is called a soul. In Buddhism, there's no permanent soul which transmigrates.
So what gets reincarnated?
I can't tell you, because I don't believe in it. Reincarnation means, if you look at the word, carne means meat. So it means the meat is reproduced.
Well, the rebirth.
Rebirth is different. Rebirth is different than reincarnation.
Why?
Because what is reborn is not the physical body. There are many different theories about rebirth, but what is reborn is not the physical body. It's not like you will all be raised to heaven in this body and no one stand by the side of God and all that. That's not Buddhism.
But if there's nothing that's permanent,
yes,
then why do we talk about rebirth rather than just birth?
That's fine. Go ahead, that's fine. You're talking about birth.
But the use of the word rebirth implies that there's something that yes. is continuing.
That, yes, but it's not. It's not continuing. It's like
one candle flame lighting.
It's rebirth. It's not rebirth of a certain person. It's like if there's one essence, everything that appears is a rebirth. It's not exactly. It's an old Indian tradition, you know.
I'm sorry, it's an old
Indian tradition. And there are various different ways of talking about it. I could talk about it more, but then I would be digressing from what I'm talking about here. So that's for another conversation, okay? Union then held up the broom, because Union is the sweeper, right? Mm. Union held up the broom and asked, which moon is this? This expression originally comes from the heroic March scripture. That's the Surangama Sutra. It's translated as heroic march scripture. The Surangama Sutra. And there are also three moons or 1,000 moons, you know. But here, two moons. Like the second moon, who will say it is the moon? Who will deny it? So for Manjushri, now here we introduce Manjushri for his comment. For Manjushri, only one moon is real. In between, there is naturally nothing that is or is not the moon. Dao Wu, who is the antagonist in this case, immediately stopped. According to one version, Dao Wu brushed out his sleeves and left. I say, completely exposed. But tell me, is it Yunyan exposing Dao Wu, or is it Dao Wu exposing Yunyan? Those who have clear eyes, try to check it out and see. So this gets more, you know, down, getting down to, like, and it sounds like, well, wait a minute, what are they talking about? You know? Well, in other words, who's right in this case? You know, Dao Wu is coming down on Yunyan. And Yunyan holds up and he says, what moon is this? So he's challenging Dao Wu. Dao Wu challenges Yunyan first, and then Yunyan challenges Dao Wu. So who's right? That's kind of what they're talking about. So Zhuangxia, now here we're introducing Zhuangxia and his comment. Zhuangxia says, indeed, this is the second moon. This old fellow has correction fluid in his mouth. Now this is very modern statement.
Right.
this is clearly tongue-in-cheek. Well, this old fellow has correction fluid in his mouth. But it's apparently something like that, you know, in the Chinese. A sharp sword on his tongue. And then Chang King, another guy, said, what if he had the broom turned on him and shaken in his face? Suan Cha then stopped. Luoshan, another guy, said, ah, these two old guys don't know good from bad. Well, is that a criticism or a compliment?
An observation.
Yeah, it could be an observation. But, you know, so what? It's got to have more punch than that. So.
Is it saying they don't make the distinction? They're too smart to make the distinction between good and bad?
Well, yeah. Well, whether they're too smart or not, it's.
Or
they're not falling into discrimination.
See, that's what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. So everybody's trying not to fall into discrimination. It's all dancing around. Like, at least who's going to fall into discrimination? And what if they don't? So this fellow Yunyan, bound hand and foot, how long has he been dead? So Yunyan, of course, is the one with the broom, right? And so this is a kind of like he doesn't really mean that. It's a way of saying something. How long has he been dead? Oh, you know, he can't really demonstrate reality. But I wouldn't say that this wouldn't make it in the school of Dashan, but really it still wouldn't yet in the school of Dongshan. Dongshan, remember, is Tozan. It's about the five ranks of demonstrating. Dashan was the fellow who met Dashan was the guy who was the scholar of the Dhyana Sutra, and he wanted to go and find out if he wanted to meet some. He was very skeptical about Zen, so he wanted to meet some Zen masters and defeat them with his knowledge of the Dhyana Sutra. So as he's going on his round, he stops by a little refreshment counter set up by this middle-aged woman. Maybe she was old. Old woman. And she had these little cakes. And these little cakes were called something like mind refreshers. And she saw Dashan with his stuff on his back. She said, "What do you got? What are you carrying there on your back?" So Dashan, he wanted to stop by and see if he could get one of those cakes. And he said, "What do you got? What are you carrying there on your back?" And he said, "Those are copies of the Dhyana Sutra. I read it 300 times, and I know everything about it." And she said, "Oh. Well, could you answer a question for me?" And he said, "Sure. What is it?" And she said, "Well, the Dhyana Sutra says neither past, future, nor present can be grasped. With what mind will you eat this cake?" And he was stumped. Totally stumped. And then he started talking to her a little bit, you know, and she said, "Well, if you want to meet a Zen master, go up the hill and you will the mountain up there, and there's a teacher named Lungtan. Lungtan means dragon pond. So he went up the mountain, and here he encountered this little old guy, you know, in his work clothes, and you know, doing holding the ground or something. He said, "Well, could you tell me where Lungtan is?" And Lungtan said, "Well, this is it, you know. What you see here is what you get." And so, Darshan said, "Well," and so they started talking, and they talked way into the night. And Darshan finally understood what Lungtan was about, and he was convinced, sort of. And so, it was nighttime, and Lungtan said, "Well, it's time for you to go to bed, you know. But your room, your hut is outside, and it's very dark." So, Lungtan lit a lantern. And as he was handing it to Darshan, he went, blew out the light, and everything was in total blackness. And Darshan woke up. He had a great enlightenment experience. And next day he went out and burned all of his commentaries and became a great Zen master who was very strict. They talk about Darshan's stick. He beat everybody up. He said 30 blows if you're right and 30 blows if you're wrong. That's called non-discrimination. So Darshan said it's okay. So I wouldn't say this wouldn't make it in the school of Darshan, but really it still wouldn't yet in the school of Dong Shan or Tozan. You know, the Tao Dong school, Tozan and Sozan. Sozan was Dong Shan or Tozan's. Sozan was Tozan's student, who also made commentaries on the five ranks. So they're both well known for this. And Soto school is the Tsao Dong school. In Japan, it became the Soto school. So you want to think of that? Okay, we're going to have about 3 minutes of stretching and no talking. And stay here. Unless you have to go to the bathroom. Okay. So, is this reaching everybody? It's difficult, you know. But the main thing is just to keep your mind open. So now he introduces Shui Feng as a commentator. Well, Shui Feng was traveling. He went to Tuji, Tuji 3 times and climbed up to Dongshan 9 times. This is very famous. Suzuki Roshi used to talk about this a lot, that Shui Feng and some other Zen students of that time, they traveled 3 times to Dongshan, and to Tuzi 3 times and to Dongshan 9 times. That may not sound like much, but if you've ever been to China, China is nothing but mountains, and to get to Tozan 9 times was unbelievable to travel that far from where they were to study with Dozan 9 times and with Tuzi 3 times. It's like, I don't know how those people ever traveled very far at all in China at that time, during the Tang Dynasty. They didn't have any money. They're monks, they didn't have anything. And they traveled all that way. And
why didn't they stay? It seems like a lot of times to come and go.
Well, you know, they wanted to study with the best teachers. So they made that. What he's talking about is making it that effort. Making that effort to actually study with the best teachers. Now, we to take a drive or take a train or fly or something, they had to walk.
Yeah, but I mean, it seems like the first time they weren't convinced that.
Oh, that's not it.
Teacher.
No, that's not it.
Came back later.
They came back later, yeah. Let's go see him again. I mean, I can't tell you exactly where they went after they saw him. So one day, as he was cleaning rice, this is Shui Feng. This is a famous story. When Shui Feng was traveling, he went to Tuzi 3 times and climbed up to Dongshan 9 times. Shan means mountain. So Dongshan is Dong Mountain. They named they call people after the mountain. Yes?
I think it means East Mountain.
I don't know, maybe. So one day, as he was cleaning rice, Dongshan asked him. So Shui Feng actually used to travel around to various monasteries with a big mixing spoon, and he would serve as tenzo at these monasteries. He had a reputation of being a really good cook. So they would invite him maybe to come to these monasteries, or he would just travel on his own. But he was well known that way. So one day, as he was cleaning rice at Dongshan's place, Dongshan asked him, "Are you cleaning the grit? Are you cleaning the grit, getting rid of the rice, or cleaning the rice, getting rid of the grit?" That's an interesting statement. We tend to sort out a subject as against the background. But rarely do we see the background as important as the foreground. Zui Feng said, "Grit and rice are gone at once." Dongshan said, "What will the community eat?" And Shui Feng then turned over the bowl. And Dongshan said, "You've got it all right, but you need to see someone else before you realize it." That's a very famous story. The grit and the rice are gone at once. What does that mean? Xuan Xia and Zhang Qing succeeded to Shui Feng. In other words, Shui Feng became their teachers. Luoshan succeeded to Yang Tu. All of them came from Dushan's gate. In other words, Dushan was a teacher. They were all children and grandchildren of Dushan. Therefore, one puts down and one uplifts. Their words go against, but their meanings accord. Now, both streams, Dongshan and Yunmen, now Yunmen is introduced as alongside Dongshan, they're equally active. How could there be superior or inferior? Yunmen also said, "The butler seeing the maid takes care." That's a great statement, but nobody knows what it means. Well, we'll find out what it means. Maybe. And then there's Bao Fu, you know, putting his two cents in. Bao Fu said, union is like, union is the one with the broom, remember? Union is a lot like someone pushing a cart through mud, working hard every day of the way, every step of the way. These two old adepts also succeeded in Sui Fong. Their speech and character naturally concur. What they mean to say is that union couldn't use the shaking of the broom to cut off complications. They still don't realize that there are thorns in the mud. This is a commonplace statement. Beware of the thorns in the mud, because mud can seem very soft and soothing when you step in it if you're not squeamish. But beware of the thorns in the mud. Ah. Beware of the little traps. No matter, you have to be very careful how you say something or express it. So, as Wang Song unfolded this story, before he had finished reciting it, he unconsciously let out a laugh and said, union and Dao Wu were illustrating the active conditions of the Dongshan progression. In other words, they were demonstrating the five positions of Dongshan. I don't want to go through that now, because it's too much. But maybe I will. You know, Dongshan, in his five positions, talks about the five aspects of the conditioned and the unconditioned. How the unconditioned is expressed as conditioned, and how the conditioned is expressed as unconditioned. And there are five different positions that illustrate this understanding. Form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. That goes to the first two. And then the essence being expressed through the function. And then just total integration, and then absolute integration. So, but I can't explain it all now. It's too much. But this is what he's talking about. As Wang Song unfolded the story, before he had finished reciting it, he unconsciously let out a laugh and said, union and Dao Wu were illustrating the active conditions of the Dongshan progression. In other words, form is emptiness, and emptiness is form. As for the other bunch of those guys, all their mouths consumed the gold, but none cleared the straits for him. Fortunately, there is Tian Tong, who comes to the record, to the rescue, pulling out the sword. Pulling out the sword, that's interesting. It's kind of like the sword in the stone. Maybe? Oh, there it is. Easy. But unless you have the right condition, the right stuff, you can't pull it out.
Only the chosen one.
Only, well, yes, in that case, but in this case, it's the enlightened one.
The sword is Manjushri?
No.
No?
I don't think so. Maybe. Pulled out the sword. So, you know, the sixth ancestor, when he was being chased by the general, after he left the monastery with the robe and the bowl, he put the robe, he knew that there were people chasing him, so he put the robe and the bowl down, and he said to this Hui Ming, who was the general, he said, the robe and the bowl are just a symbol of the transmission. If you want to pick him up, go ahead. But when he tried, he couldn't pick him up. So that feeling. So here's Tian Tong. Tian Tong, his poem, which is, expresses the understanding. So he says, borrowing temporarily, union comprehends the gateway. realizing the function as is appropriate, Dao Wu then rests.
Yes.
What did I say?
Rest.
It's
a typo.
We have a typo.
So
what should it rest?
Rest.
It says test in our version.
Maybe it's tests. Reading the function is as appropriate, that will then rest.
In the book, it says rest.
Rest.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the typo. Dao is testing.
Huh?
Dao is doing some testing here.
I think rest is a typo.
Yeah. I think it's rest.
Really?
Well, that's what it says in the book. Dao Wu then rests. Realizing the function as is appropriate, then Dao Wu rests. The snake handler on Elephant Bone Crag, that's Yin. Yin is that snake handler on Elephant Bone Crag. The doings of childhood seem shameful when you're old. That's a great sentence. Wan Sung has a commentary on this poem. And now, what I do, the poem has four lines, right? So 1, 2, 3, 4. And then I find the line in the commentary that corresponds to the line in the poem. But it does. I mean, it does that. Like the first line, borrowing temporarily, Union comprehends the gateway. And so that corresponds to, if you discuss this matter, it is like sparks, like lightning. Yun Yan lifted it, the broom, up to show the man. And then that's the second line of the poem. Realizing the function as is appropriate, Dao Wu then rests. Chang Ping shakes it right in his face. Though their uses are different, they return alike to change and extinction. The Dongshan progression, that is the five ranks, therefore esteems the shift of potential and revolution of state, completely turning around. On Shuifeng Mountain, there is an elephant bone crag. Shuifeng once instructed his congregation. This is a koan. This is a koan in the Luka version. On South Mountain, there is a turtle-nosed snake. You people should watch out for it carefully. This is the third line. Yunmen threw down his staff before him and made a gesture of fright. Is this not when the butler sees the maid and takes care? This is a little thick, but the shift refers to Dong. There are two major five ranks of Tozan. One is the kind of theoretical, and the other is the practical. And what we usually study is the practical. I mean, the theoretical, but this is the practical. The first rank is called the shift. Or orientation that is shifting from ordinary life to life of practice. That's called the shift. That's the first one, which I call turning on.
You call what?
Turning on. In other words, turning on to you shift from ordinary life to practice life.
Yeah.
And then the second one is called service or submission to the practice. And I call that tuning in. And then there is the third one, which is called achievement or virtue or confirmation. And that's what I call dropping out. And then the fourth one is collective achievement. And I call that do your thing. And then the fifth one is called absolute achievement. That's called far out.
Cool.
Rudy. So, the fourth line is the doings of childhood seem shameful when you're old. Young one, even up till now, is still under the awning. That is why Kyantan won't let him go, saying, the snake handler on the elephant bone crag, the doings of childhood seem shameful when you're old. Shane Mo, another guy, said, this verse has a way of searching out people's shortcomings and helping their strengths. Here, Kyantan and Shane Mo and Ben, but today I'm overturning the decision. Don't you see how Tiantong's line about the snake handling praises Yunnan, great function of his whole potential not coming down from the clouds? Why is it like this? Putting down and holding and upholding both rest with oneself. Who else do killing and reviving depend on? So here's the added sayings to the case. As Yunnan was sweeping the ground, that's the statement, right? Novices and workmen don't have the strength. So this is about Yunnan. Novices and workmen don't have the strength. Dao Wu said, too busy hiding an army, he picks a fight. Yunnan said, you should know there's one who isn't busy. Too bad. The story has become dualistic. Why has it become dualistic? Because he's just saying there's one who isn't busy. There's one who is busy and there isn't there one who isn't busy. That's dualistic, right?
Right.
So, if so, Dawu said, if so, there's a second moon. Only two? There's hundreds, thousands, myriads. Yunnan held up the broom and said, which moon is this? He appears from within the crystal palace. Crystal palace means enlightenment. Dawu then stopped. It's all in the unspoken. The Swan Sha said, this is precisely the second moon. When one person transmits a falsehood, 10,000 people translate it as truth. Boy, I'll say. Yunnan said, when the butler sees the maid, he takes care. Following the error, he beats the strainer. Well, and then there are added sayings to the verse. Remember the verse? Tiantong's verse. Borrowing temporarily from the heroic March scripture, Shingon Sutra, borrowing temporarily, he comprehends the gateway, giving birth on the spot. Realizing the function as is appropriate, then he rests. Rests, not tests. Passing away on the spot. The snake handler of elephant bone crag, if you want to speak of others, the doings of childhood seem shameful when you're old. First manage yourself. So that's the case and the commentary. There are things that you study a lot and then you get some feeling for what's going on here. Chinese, and especially in the Tang Dynasty, they always speak poetically. They don't necessarily talk the way we do, like, you know, prosaically. They speak poetically, and so in order to really get the gist of what they're saying, you have to kind of get into a poetic mood or intuitive mood. You can't just, you know, you have to let your intuition bring the stuff up, you know. And the more you do that, you begin to see the connections. And having studied the ancestors for a long time, I kind of get the connections when I study the case. That's why this Shoyoroko, this book, is very interesting to me, because these connections can go pop, 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 you know. And that, you know, that makes it interesting. So, but if you're just getting it for the first time and you're not familiar with these people, with these ancestors, it's really difficult, you know, just to get the gist. Yeah.
The grammar's difficult.
The grammar's difficult.
I mean, there are references back to things that aren't clear, you know, and there's at least one sentence that isn't an actual sentence. And I mean, it's hard to follow because of that.
Yes. So I think, you know, what you have to do is really study it.
Right.
And when the more you study it, the more it comes together. And even the sentence that isn't a sentence, I think, is not okay. You know, we always want everything to come out right or even. You know, the sentence should have a subject and an object and all that, verbs. But it's not always that way. I remember a long time ago when I first started practicing, I got a book that was produced in China, but it was all in English, and it was a translation of the Chinese Zen studies, you know, of the patriarchs. And the language, you know, didn't make English sense, but it did. But you had to turn things around and kind of retranslate it into English. But the way it was written was the way the Chinese think. It was a Chinese translator thinking in Chinese. And so you get the feeling of how the Chinese think. If you put it all into regular English, you lose it. You really lose a lot by putting it into normal English. And Suzuki Roshi was that way too, you know, like he would often speak the way he would think in Japanese. And so it didn't, you know, sounded funny. And so we, you know, when we edit his talks, you know, to make sure that you don't kind of edit all that out, which is hard because you want him to be speaking good English that you can understand. But there has to be, you know, leave some of that Japanese thinking. The way he thinks and the way the Chinese think is important. So that's why, you know, like Cleary, when he translated this, he says, I just try to get the essential stuff, you know, so that people could get what's going on. And it's an incredible book, the incredible translating all that stuff, you know. It's pretty amazing, actually, to have it come out as well as it's come out. So I wouldn't quibble with a few sentences that are, you know, and a few things that are seem obscure. To get the whole picture, I mean, there's so many people commenting on the thing, you should be able to get it, you know, without worrying about what, you can't get what somebody said, because they're all, you know, everybody's saying something from a different point of view, all these commentators, and you should be able to get it, even if you don't understand a few things. Yeah.
I wouldn't dream of quibbling or quarreling. I'm just, but I do feel lost in a lot of
course. Well, you know, you're just getting it for the first time. Mm-hmm. And that's to be expected. I wouldn't expect everybody to get it at all the first time. This, to me, this is just an exposition. And you're just kind of looking at the movie, you know, whether we understand it or not.
Could I give an example of something that you didn't mention that I found?
Yeah.
I sort of, it was like it really came out of left field, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was very striking, but I really didn't understand it at all. Oh, here we go. Just before the verse, the last paragraph in the commentary before the verse.
Mm-hmm.
And the last couple of sentences of that, it says, as for that other bunch of old guys, all their mouths consumed the gold, but none cleared the straits for them. Fortunately, is it, well, that's, okay, so that's the sentence that threw me off. I'm thinking, what gold? We haven't talked about gold before, and also, but none cleared the straits for him.
Yeah.
For who? Which one of them are they talking about when they say him?
Well, union.
Okay.
Unions are one that's challenged.
Okay.
So all these guys have wonderful things to say. They all, everybody's right. But they still have that, you know, you have to clear the straits yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. It's not like, of course they haven't cleared the straits. You have to do that. They're leaving something up for you to do. That's what it's all about, you.
Mm-hmm.
Every koan is about you. Not about it. It's the story of you.
What about consuming all that gold?
Well, it's there. You have to mine it. So, the koan, if we go back, is about. Which moon is this? If you keep in mind what the koan is about, then everything is related to what moon is this. Everything is related to that key word, that key phrase. What moon is this? So you are union. And you have to answer, which moon is this? That's what it's about.
You say if when we get this for the first time, we need to study it. How do you study something like that? What is your process?
Well, I read it over. I read it, and then something clicks with me, and I make notes. So the margins are full of notes. To me, the book is not complete unless it has all my notes in the margin. So this is my contribution, my response to the case is to write my commentary, my comments on the margins, and I don't feel that it's complete unless I write all my comments on the margins. And so that helps me to think about it. And then when I say, oh yeah, that means this. Oh yeah. And little by little, I put it all together. And there's a lot of intuition that connects things. You can't just connect it by, you know, mental exertion. There also has to be intuition that kind of makes everything click together. So then I've been studying this stuff for years. I did this in San Francisco when I was abbot and with people, and so I got a lot of experience doing this, and then doing this again now, I put more stuff in the margins that I didn't realize then, so I just keep getting more and more interesting.
Is it typical that different Roshis will get different, will extract different meanings from?
Well, yes. You know, there are various ways of understanding, but really, there's only in this case, there's only one way of understanding it. Which moon is this? Is this the essence or the function? There are many cases like that. Many cases. So when you read, when you study more cases, you realize this is one example, and there are other examples of the same thing. But this is a good one.
When I look at the koan alone, with it, leaving aside the commentaries and so on, it seems similar to many other koans in that, in fact, this is one of the simplest kind of things that I remember, that you have the guy sweeping, so he's doing perhaps something that is already a unified activity, we can assume it, and then somebody else is coming in doing the upsetting a little bit to say, well, there's a little bit extra something here, you're a little too, this. And then this sets off a thing where this original person, presumably pretty enlightened, is then saying, no, you're looking at this busy aspect, but inside, so to speak, there's this other thing. And then the other guy says, oh, aren't you making a separation if you're doing that? And then Yunyan comes back with a perfect answer, which is, it's not a question, really. It's like, here it is, as if to say, no, I'm not making a separation. Here's the action, here's this thing. You, I'm putting it to you, are you going to say this is one or the other? And perhaps the answer is, well, it's both, or it's neither, or something like that. So, as if to say, each one is responding to the other, and the end thing is not really a question in the sense that, oh, that's the broom of the absolute, or the broom of the relative, or something. But it's just that each of them is giving the appropriate thing, and this could go on forever with other...
Yeah, well, they're both, together they're bringing out the Dharma. It's not like one is defeating the other and the other. They're both bringing, together they bring out the Dharma. That's a really important aspect. It's not like one wins and one loses or something.
So I'm just wondering, because you then rephrased it and you said, well, there are questions, which is this. Is this still a question to us to say, well, which is it? Or because it seems to me that... there's not a problem once he's done that. It's like, hey, no problem. It's all there, right?
But that has to be not just an idea.
Okay. Well, I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is all this investigation that goes on. That well, it's just an idea, you know. Right. And so, like, these guys are all discussing it, are making. Producing gold, but they're not answering the question.
But it reminds me of our Shosan ceremonies, because sometimes, often they don't get this elaborate, but sometimes it could be like that, and so, whoops, you're catching there, whoops, maybe you're a little, no, I'll come back with this, and if it goes right, you know, it's kind of like this dialogue.
Yeah. Well,
that's right, Lori had this case.
This case?
When she was Shusan.
Maybe.
I'm sure.
I don't remember giving anybody a case from the Choyo Roku, but maybe so.
You did.
She did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. How did you know? Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I think she had studied this at some point.
I think with on the internet, Rev went through all 100 of them, and he asked each of the students who were in that class to write a poem for each one.
Yeah.
When he was all through on the 100th anniversary, and I think Lori did the one for this
kid. Yeah. Well, are you satisfied?
Yeah.
What's next?
I don't know what's next, but I'm thinking of maybe studying Kazan's Kazan Senshi, the fourth ancestor from Dogen, transmission of light. Those are, you know, they are like koans, and you can do one every time. So I'm thinking of doing that. So I'll give you the material.